study tonight on true Christian characteristics. It's kind of interesting that we looked at warfare and a new race, and tonight we're going to look at victory. How many need some victory somewhere in areas of their life? Hallelujah. Amen. So God knows that. So let's start with 1 John chapter 5 is where we're building this on tonight. Verse number 4. What's wrong with the door? They probably didn't pull in the door.
It's real hard to open. It's like locked. It's locked.
I think it is locked.
It's not.
Somebody let me out.
You have to
not. I had to get it real hard.
It feels locked and you have to jerk it hard to get it.
Right.
It's full deep.
Hey, Em.
I thought it was locked.
How are you tonight, honey?
Good.
You weren't locked out. It was just kind of sticky. No, she wasn't. Well, James is going
to
fix it. James Carr. Need a pen? Well, I didn't want to give him a brick. That's what I'm saying. I didn't want to get James to get a brick. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in 1 John chapter 5, our focus verse for tonight, is which we're going to build this off of, is verse number 4. And it says, did y'all get that? Oh, there's tongues and interpretation. That was my tongue. Okay. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen? So first we're going to look at new victory. First number one, the birth, new birth. New birth. The birth, and I'm talking about first being reborn, okay? So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we're reborn. We're born again in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So as we're reborn, it's important for us also to be reformed, okay? To reform. So we're reborn first and reformed. What I have for that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, through the cross of Calvary, we were reconciled unto God. Now we have the ministry to share the gospel with others to reconcile them to Christ. So we've been reborn, we're born again, we're reformed, okay? No problem. Ha! I so saw you bending over looking at me. You could do, but I can't do that. I'd top over and hit my head. That's his new peekaboo move. Is that his new peekaboo move? Yeah. Do you do it with him? Do you understand that we're reborn? We're reborn. And this calls for you and I, if we've been reborn by the Word of God, and we're reformed, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. It calls for us to refocus. Amen. We can't look in the same direction as we used to look. So in 1 John chapter 2, and our thought, remember again, we're talking about having victory. We had in here where there was warfare, we're in a race, and we run a race to win the race. You know, we have victory. We have victory recognizing that we're reborn, we're reformed, and also that we have to refocus. And 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, the Word of God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the God, will of God abideth forever. So this victory, the victory that we're witnessing in Christ Jesus, first we have to recognize that we've been reborn. That being reborn, now we're reformed. We're reformed. And then we refocus our attention. It's about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added. In other words, our focus has changed. He says, when we're in the world, we love the world. But God brought us out of the world. Amen. And it doesn't mean that we still don't love the people and we don't want to reach the people, but we don't love the things of the world. We love the things of God. And so God is leading us in a direction so that we can witness and have victory in every area of our lives. This speaks of spiritual victory, emotional victory, mental victory, physical victory. Amen. I'm talking about winning the battle. I'm talking about being a winner. Amen. So if we look at this, he says, hey, one, we've been born again. We're reborn. Two, we're reforming. We're in this world. We're not of this world. Three, that means we have to refocus our attention because our attention has to be drawn in a different direction than it was before. Because we were drawn by the world. God brought us out of the world and brought them to him, and our focus has to be towards him. Amen? Yes.
So now, instead of being worldly-minded, we're
kingdom-minded. Kingdom-minded, yep. Amen? Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Romans 14, 17. Amen? So he says also, as we're being reborn, everybody in the room has been born again. Okay, we're all believers. We're being reformed. He takes us from glory to glory. In other words, it just isn't reformed in a moment. I go from glory to glory. I'm being transformed into his image. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Amen? So in other words, I'm reforming because I'm refocused. Amen? My attention is focused in a different direction now. He says also to us, he says in this scripture reference, we have a battle. The battle. Amen? The birth, the battle. This is the victory that overcometh. First, he wants you and I to understand that we have power to tread. To tread. And Psalms 44. He gets it right from his dad. I learned something from the Lord. If anybody says it's the mom, it's the dad. And if the mom says it's the dad, it's the mom. It's called pass the buck. It would be better to say, it's us. But in Psalms 44:5, it says, through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us.
That's a good one. I've never seen that.
Amen. In other words, the devil's truly under our feet. Amen. He says the battle, we have battle to tread. And there's something about when we tread, it brings us triumph. In other words, the triumph is found in Luke chapter 10. Verse number 19. Jesus said this. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. So we've been reborn, reformed, refocused. So in this battle that we can tread, that we can triumph according to the word of God. Thirdly, we have power to trample. When I look at the word trample, a trample means to crush. Amen? In other words, if you're going to step on the serpents and scorpions, it's better if you just crush them than just step on them. Hello? Right? So he says, not only as we're triumphing, as we're treading on the enemy, he has given us, so in 2 Corinthians 10:4, what happened? Oh. J.O., stop that. Did I scare you? I'm sorry. Did I scare anybody else? The scripture I use for this, is a familiar one. It's in 2 Corinthians 10:4. It says, and we have to get a hold of this because as we're treading on the adversary and we're triumphing over him and we're trampling him as we're crushing him, the Word of God wants to remind us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, what I did by stomping wasn't what God had intended for the scripture. And you see the effect it had when I did that. It scared a child, okay? All right? So I can use that as a lesson, as a lesson before us. He says that the weapons of this warfare are not carnal or done in the natural, but they're mighty through God for pulling down the strongholds. Amen? It's we've reformed, we're reborn, we've reformed, and we've refocused, and now we're acting upon God's word. And we're in a battle. Amen? So we're going to tread on the enemy. We're going to triumph. And we're going to trample him. We're going to crush him. How? By the power of God. Not by our power, but by his power. Paul said his grace is sufficient. Amen? In other words, we're learning to put God's word to work. As we put his word to work, I'm going to share a testimony today. I met with a young man today. I've been ministering to this young man. And this young man has been in church all of his life. But since we've been ministering to him, there's a transformation in his life. And he's been in the Bible all of his life, but this book was like a history book that was written, and they read and they studied it as a history book. But since he's been with me, he's learned to put the word inside of him so the word has an effect. And this word has to get in here. And as the word gets in here, we have victory. As the word gets in here, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up, we shall condemn, because we speak the word of God against it. Amen. It's one thing, it's us getting the word inside of us. Amen. So he says, thirdly, where were we? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. Third I have is the belief. The belief, even by our faith, you know. Faith being the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by applying the word of God, by speaking the word of God. Amen. When Jesus said man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When Jesus was in a battle with Satan, he spoke the word to Satan. He overcame him by the word. Amen. And God is saying to you and I, the belief is our faith. We have to have faith to grow. And if you look with me in Luke chapter 17, verse number 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus responded and said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Amen. In other words, he was saying, it's not having a bunch of faith. It's having faith. Faith to believe God to do what he said he would do. And one of the things that we're learning as children of God, it's not what we see. Faith is the substance of things that we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. So as a child of God, you and I have to get a hold of the word and believe God that he's the author and finisher of our faith. He said it so we can speak it and believe that it will come to pass. Amen? And not be like Thomas and doubt him. Thomas said, unless I could see the nail prints in his hand and thrust my hands in his side, I won't believe. And Jesus appeared to him again and said, Thomas. And Thomas said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, you have seen and believed, but blessed are they that have not seen and still believe. Amen. In other words, when you speak something, you're believing God for something. When you don't see it and it doesn't look like it's coming, you can't say, well, the Lord didn't want me to have that. I guess I'll just pray for it again, or I'll go look for it again, or I'll seek it in a different way. You know, you say, no. By faith, I believe it's coming. I'm going to stand in agreement. I believe in God's word. I spoke it according to God's word, and I'm going to expect it to come. No matter what anyone says, amen, you believe God in his word, and he'll do everything he said. Amen. He's talking about moving mountains. You can say this mountain be removed. And he's not talking about the Blue Ridge Mountain. He's talking about whatever mountain comes between you and him. He says, whatever mountain comes between you and your victory, between you and your deliverance, between you and your freedom, between you and your healing, between you and your restoration, between you and your reconciliation, whatever comes between you and your answer, you got to believe it, because you got to speak it forth and believe God that it's going to come to pass. Amen. Are you with me? Amen.
1959. This week, last week or so, I've been hearing news from my family. And the Lord says, I'm doing this because I'm increasing my faith.
Amen.
And I know some things that spoken to Amber, she shared with me. And then the Lord just rose up within me and said, I'm increasing your faith.
Amen.
And this is a great opportunity for my son and daughter that God is doing a marvelous work. He says, I'm increasing your faith.
Amen.
Whatever maybe you feel being spoken down, God is speaking up. Whatever is being spoken against, God is speaking forward. And he's called to tell you that he's blessed. He's going to respond by showing you an increase in faith. And here I see the apostles saying, Lord, increase our faith.
Amen.
So that's what my prayer is for them. Lord, Amen. Increase our faith.
Increase our faith. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you with me? Good word, Jim. Amen. He wasn't speaking to you. He's speaking to the couple in front of him. So, okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You could probably, if you want to listen to the recording on the website, my mic was back there, so, okay. Hallelujah. So he's talking about increasing our faith and belief. And I put the next thing I put is to give. And the give here that I had in mind when the Lord laid that on my heart, it was just a G word. I had to find a G word. But to give... What he keeps speaking to my heart about, listen to me, to give understanding, listen to me, you too. The devil cannot steal what you have understanding of. The only thing he can steal from us is what we're confused about. And as we take this word, if we're confused on the word, he can steal it from us. But when we have understanding, he can't touch it. And he says to a student, Timothy, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4, and this is what happens so much in our world that we live in today. He says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions. Rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Now the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned. And you know, I forgot where my word was. Faith permitted, you know. Unfeigned means to permit, and faith permitted. We've got to allow faith to work. In other words, we can't just speak it. We got to allow it to work. Yes.
Good conscience, and from sincere faith.
Right. Right. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Joe.
Something like Jan gave an impartation to me.
Right.
To run towards my fears.
Right.
And I appreciate the word that she shared. It was a really encouraging word that it's caused me to look at my fears and run towards them.
Right.
Run from them.
Right.
So I appreciate that. And this word here about, we hear of our, it talks about genealogy, it talks about our family history.
Right.
We don't need to be afraid of our family history.
Right.
God has redeemed us from that curse.
Yeah. The generational curse has been broken. Amen.
The tables of men's ideals being spoken to us that create all kinds of havoc in our mind.
Right.
And that God says, those things of fears are coming against you.
Right.
Go ahead.
Amen.
So I just really appreciate Jan, something like the impartation that I was receiving as she shared.
Amen.
And for her openness of her own heart for God to help. So I'm grateful for that.
Amen. 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 Yeah, that's one of the things. Listen to me. That's one of the things, and I've shared before, and I'll share again. You know, when I went to the doctor, and the doctor asked for the physical history of my mom and the physical history of my dad, and then started speaking all these things, that you're going to get this and you're going to get that because of your parents. And I told him to shut up. The curse of sin's been broken. I don't have any of those. That generational curse was broken. Amen. You know, we have victory in Christ Jesus. You know, we're more than conquerors. Amen. Jesus did it. And so what did it call me to do? What does it call us to do? It calls us to make changes in our lives. Half the time, the people that ended up in ditches is because they kept walking into the ditch. Hello? You know? And if you keep stepping in the ditch, you're going to fall in it. You know, sometimes it's just, he's speaking about, sometimes I just got to change my direction. You know, and as we're following him and following his guidance and his direction, we can walk past these things. This is a membrane here that is you got to bring under control. You know, I think this. Oh, I think that. Oh, I think that. Oh, I think that. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, I've got all these. All right, but it's true, right? Hallelujah. What did he say? He said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We got to change the way we think. In other words, I got to think according to God's word. When something comes, and I have this thing, just like this week, I started running on Monday, and my right ankle felt awful. It felt like it was going to give up. And I started saying, "There's nothing wrong with my ankle." So I kept running, and I kept running. And the next day I went, and my ankle's feeling the same way. And I said, there's nothing wrong with my ankle. You know, I'm going to run. So I kept running. I kept running. I had to take authority over the pain because there was pain. I'm not ready for you yet. I'm speaking. And so this went on and continuing to it. It wasn't there. The pain wasn't there any longer because it was here. And it wanted to camp out there. All right? Yes, Dusty. For me to know you. That was the one message that Dusty listened to. Dusty, give me a fist bump. Don't crush my knuckles now. Where were we? Hey, were we in the Bible tonight? Yeah, let's go back into it. The third thing here is to guard. Ephesians 6. Do you get what the Lord's saying tonight? Verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation that protects your mind, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Amen? My faith blocks every dart that the enemy's throwing. Okay, my helmet of salvation protects my mind. It becomes a no-so mentality. And my sword of the Spirit is my offensive weapon in the Word of God, that I only fight the adversary with the Word. He doesn't bow to one word I have, but he bows to the Word of God. Every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're letting Jesus be magnified and glorified in and through us, recognizing that, hey, we have victory. We've been reborn. We've been reformed. We've been refocused. We're treading on the enemy. We're in a battle. We're triumphing. We're trampling on him. And we're growing. He's given us understanding. And we're guarding our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Tonight, just a simple lesson on faith. Isn't faith good?